Yes, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for just coming into your presence. Thank you, Jesus, that you are more eager to meet with us than we are to meet with you. We thank you, Father, like was prayed in intercession, that you are not a distant God, but that you are close. And I thank you, Father, that this morning, Holy Spirit, that you are flowing through this church, Lord, that there is a river of life in this church. And I thank you, Father, that this morning there will be transformation. There will be sick that will be healed. There will be tired and depressed and anxiety-driven people that will be set free. Thank you, Father, for peace that will come. Yeah, Lord, I thank you, Father, for a commitment this morning to just step into that river. Yeah, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we read and speak about the word, that you would really just birth a thirst. Give us the gift of hunger for more of Jesus. Father, we're hungry for revival, but just because revival is Jesus. And we are hungry for Jesus. So I pray this morning, God, won't you come and like biltong, just make us thirsty and hungry for more of you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to John 7, if you want to open with me, otherwise it is on the back. So while you're opening there, John 7, verse 37, and we pick up the story. Oh, goodness, the book of John is just amazing. It's so different to the other Gospels. I read through the other Gospels once, and John, I'm busy on my third time. I see I got stuck on John, so I kind of go through, and then I go to the back, and I start again. But yeah, we pick up the story in verse 37 where Jesus, it says there on the last day. On the last day of what? It was the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jewish people, and I believe they still do it today, they really got the Sabbath and the sabbatical thing right, and the feasting and the celebrating. So what they did was three times a year they had different feasts. I think there were two others less significant, but Feast of Tabernacles was one of the most significant feasts in those times. And what would happen is all the Jewish men were required to go up to Jerusalem, and there they would celebrate and remember what God had done for them to get them out of slavery, the 400 years, was it 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So they would actually do kind of makeshift, I think they call it, makeshift tents, that they would kind of set up the tent, and for 7 days they would celebrate. So they would make these little tents, and back then they would actually sleep in them and stay in them to remind themselves and for the kids to go, Dad, what are we doing? Why are we setting up a tent? Why are we sleeping in this thing? And to say, let me tell you what God did. When we were in the desert, we didn't have permanent homes. We had tents because whenever the cloud lifted or the fire column lifted, we had to move. There was no time to break down homes and repack and whatever. It had to be quick, so it was a tent. So they would actually, for 7 days, stay in a tent and remember what God had done. Do not just save them out of slavery, but also during the time in the desert, he provided for them. He protected them against the natural elements. They stayed in tents in the desert. Can you imagine? In the desert, in a tent. We camped once in Worcester. Oh, my greatness. The only thing worse if you've gone camping, worse than rain, if it's like 45 degrees heat in a tent. Yo, it's warm. You can't go anywhere. You can't be in the tent. You can't be out of the tent. So can you imagine these guys were in tents for 40 years? So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. They remember how God healed them in the desert. He said there for the first time in Exodus 33, I am the Lord your healer. He provided for them. In fact, they said their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't grow old for 40 years. Can you imagine? Hey? So just the supernatural provision. And then there was also a part of this Feast of Tabernacles when the Jews got together for 7 days. They celebrated this feast. And part of this was also the remembrance of the messianic promise that God is going to come again. And he's going to dwell. He's going to tabernacle with his people again. And that was also part of what they did during the 7 days. They would remember, but then they would also kind of cry out to God and say, God, we want you to come back. We want you to stay with us again the way you stayed with us in the wilderness. And then the last thing they would do is they would actually also thank God for the harvest they had. And then the priest, later on, it says that they developed a practice where they would actually pour water onto some bowl in the temple as a kind of a reminder and pleading with God to please send them rains that they would need for the following season of planting and harvesting. So this all happened for 7 days. And Jesus, if you go to the beginning of chapter 7, first he was with his brothers, and look, it's in the beginning of chapter 7, I could be wrong, I'm not a theologian, but his brothers seemed to me quite irritated with him. They were pretty irritated with him because he's now doing miracles and he's talking, but you were actually just my little brother, or my big brother. Not quite sure where he fitted in the ranks of things. Big brother. But I can just, they seemed a little bit irritated. So they basically told him, you need to go up. Are you coming with us to Jerusalem? And there you can tell everybody your stories. And then Jesus said, no, I'm not going up. It's not my time yet. I'm not going. But then it says later in chapter 7 that he did go up secretly. Okay? So he was actually in Jerusalem. Now, by this time, it's impossible for Jesus to be kept secret. Okay? Because he started doing miracles. He started healing people. So somewhere, somebody got hold of him. But Jesus also decided on the last day of the feast, 7 days they've now remembered, they've spoken about and asked God, please send God to come and tabernacle amongst us again. God, we remember how amazing it was when you were with us in the desert. And I think it says on the last day of the feast, and I think Jesus couldn't take it anymore. That's not in the Bible, but I think he was like, I am the one you are crying out for 7 days. I'm here. And this is what happens in chapter 37. It says that on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And this is verse 9. John explains to us that this rivers of living water that Jesus is saying will gush out of your heart, out of your innermost being. That's the Holy Spirit that will be poured out. But Jesus says, come and drink of me and I will give you living water. That's what it says, right? And that is how we know Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. But first you need to come and drink of Jesus. You need to come and drink with Jesus. And it's so amazing to me how he says here, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. That rivers of living water, it comes into our hearts for our healing first. And from there it flows to all around us. Sounds like revival to me. So I was pondering this because this scripture stuck with me the last couple of weeks, and I was reading it and I was like, God, rivers of living water, that's what I need. That's what I need for the relationships around me. That's what Franz Hook needs. That's what we all need. But God, what is this rivers of living water? Where else? So I started kind of paging through the Bible, looking at different rivers and, no, the rivers, the Holy Spirit, but what is it? What's in it? And I got stuck at Ezekiel 47. So if you want to go there, you're welcome. Ezekiel 47, we see there that this prophet Ezekiel, he was in a vision or an angel took him somewhere and showed him a river. Okay, so we're going to work through this. It's 12 verses, but hang in there. It's quite amazing. The verses are really, really amazing. And we see a similar river in Revelations. I believe it's 22. I think I'll find it a little bit later. You'll see a similar river. So Ezekiel saw what John saw in Revelation, this river that's flowing. And we're going to start there, verse 1. Then he, who is the angel, there's an angel that's taking Ezekiel around, showing him this river and showing him what's going on. And he's kind of explaining what's going on. Then he brought me, Ezekiel, back to the door of the temple. The temple is the throne room of God. The temple is the presence of God. That's where he is. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. So the water is coming from the temple, from the throne of God. It's running from there. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit. When you hear water, you think presence of God, you think Holy Spirit. It's flowing from the temple, from the throne room. Verse 3. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he's got a measuring rod, a maatband of sorts. So he's telling and he's measuring this river that's forming, the water. He measured 1,000 cubits. So he measures a cubit. And he brought me through the waters. Through the waters means they measure 1,000 cubits. I have no clue what a cubit, how long that is, 1,000 whatever. And then he says to him, right, now we cross over to the other side of the water. And then they measure again. Okay, so listen to what happens. It says there, and he brought me through the waters, verse 3. The water came up to my ankles. So they measure 1,000 cubits. They cross over the waters up to his ankles. Okay. Again, he measured 1,000, again on that side, 1,000, and brought me through the waters. They crossed the water again, and the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist. Again, he brought me measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. We're going to carry on now. But I want you to see that the river, the further you got from the throne room, the deeper the river got. How amazing. And isn't that what Richard, if you missed it, Richard preached an amazing sermon last week just on the history of revival. And what he said about revival transforming a community, a nation, that jails are empty. There's no more abuse at home. Marriages are flourishing. There are no more struggling businesses. It's working. Things are working together. That's revival when there's transformation in a city and a nation, when there's no more corruption. How amazing. What would our country be like if there's no more corruption, if marriages are working, if kids are healthy, if there aren't people that die before their time and little kids have to grow up without a mom and a dad? What would our, just imagine Franschhoek, what would Franschhoek look like if the Spirit of God would flow? And that's what Richard said. Revival starts in the throne room, in the temple, in the church. But true revival, it's got to go out. That's what Ezekiel saw. It got deeper the further you went. Isn't that the truth? If we just sit in church, but there's no transformation at home, are we really in the river? Because this river, the river of the presence of God that flows from the throne room, that should be the deepest at home. Monday morning, Tuesday morning. That's what Ezekiel says. It's challenging, but that's revival. That's true revival. We carry on, and it's so beautiful to me, verse 6. This angel that's walking with Ezekiel, he says, son of man, have you seen this? And I can just imagine Ezekiel has just been focusing on this river, and all of a sudden it's like he kind of lifts his chin and he says, have you seen what's around you? And we now look as almost as if Ezekiel looked up for the first time and is looking at what's around this river. So we carry on and he says there, verse 7, when I returned there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region. The eastern region is the desert. Okay, so if you go and look on the map, some of the translations, it doesn't even say eastern region. It says the desert. So the water goes to the desert, and it goes down into the valley and enters the sea. The sea in this case is the Dead Sea. Okay, that you're going to see now. I'm reading from the New King James, speak about the great sea as the ocean, the sea we know. And the sea Ezekiel is speaking about is the Dead Sea. Okay, so it's interesting. The water flows to the desert. When nothing grows, everything is dead. And it flows to the Dead Sea where there is nothing alive. There are no fish in the Dead Sea because there's not an inflow and an outflow. It's just, it's dead. Okay? So the water flows. Where am I now? Verse 9, Liesl. Verse 8. Okay, end of verse 8. When it reaches the sea, the Dead Sea, its waters are healed. Listen to this. Verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from in Egliam. I get it so hard geoefen. Oh my goodness. Sorry, Yella. They will be the places for spreading the nets. So it says that we're going to read up until there for now, and then we're going to finish with two more verses. But it says there that this river, wherever it goes, it's bringing life. It's bringing healing. It's bringing transformation. Do you see that? Where the water goes, the transformation is not in the Dead Sea. The transformation is not in the fishermen. Transformation is not in the fish. It's in the water. It's in the water. Wherever this water goes, it says, the New Living Translation says, it makes everything fresh, makes everything pure. I loved Johnny's scripture of the offering was exactly this. Where the river goes, where the river of God, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God goes, there is healing. I don't know what healing you need this morning. Maybe it's healing in your marriage. Maybe it's healing in some relational. Maybe it's healing in your body. I've got good news. There's a river. And the water heals everything. Like I said, the New Living Translation says fresh. There was a word that came out. Some people are maybe tired. Maybe you halfway through the year and you're saying, I'm exhausted. I cannot actually get up in the morning. I can't do this anymore. Maybe you've got little kids. And that is a season of needing of refreshment. And God is saying, there's a river flowing from my throne room right now, because Jesus said, I am here. Drink of me. Everybody who is thirsty, drink of me. And out of your heart, after I have healed you, refreshed you, made you pure. I don't know what you got into this week. The good news is Jesus paid for the water to flow through and make all of whatever went on this week, what you did, what you didn't do, what you should have done, maybe not. God saying, the water of my presence will purify, it will refresh, it will heal. I felt that there were some of us that, like Nora said, that you actually feel stuck. And I felt God saying, a river is a flowing thing. The Dead Sea is not flowing. That's where nothing lives there. But you feel stuck, get in the river, and the river, the presence of God, will take you where you need to go. Verse 11. Unfortunately, there's always a but. But the swamps and the marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. You see, what happened in this river is at times the water banks will overflow because of the lot of rain in the rainy season like we had. The water will just go over the banks. And what happens is once the river has come down, the rain will stop. And the river will come kind of get back into its normal banks. And the swamps and the marshes is what they call the wetlands. It's poele. It's areas that water flowed, but it's no longer connected to the river. It's close to. It's very close. Because it's right here. But you see, what happened was there's no more connection because the river's back in its banks. And it's interesting, Ezekiel says, that water will not be healed. You see, we can be as close as we want. You can be right next to the river. But until you get in the river, the rivers of living water will not flow through you. You can sit in church. You can even read your Bible. But if you are not thirsting and drinking from Jesus and allowing His Holy Spirit to just come and fall through you and run through you, it will not be healed. And the good news is there's a river. The river is there. And the other good news is it's not far. It's literally a step away. I felt for some of you, you're feeling I'm overwhelmed. I know I've got dead spots in my heart. Maybe you've walked away a little bit from Jesus. Maybe there are certain areas of your life that you're like, that is a swamp. I don't talk about it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about it. It is a swamp. And I felt God saying, it's not that far. It's literally a step away. You just turn to me, drink from me, Jesus says, and I will let the river flow. Step in the river. Verse 12, this is from Johnny's verse. He read it somewhere else, but it's the same thing. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Listen to that. On both sides, lots of trees for food. There's provision in the river. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. In this river, we often think church is spiritual, Jesus is spiritual. Here Jesus gets down to the nuts and bolts saying, you need provision. In the river, there's provision. There is food. I shared with you the testimony a while ago about David Hogan's farm in Mexico that I asked his grandson, is it true? That's the one thing I wanted to ask him. Do you guys remember the Mexican guy that was here? I had the privilege of picking them up. I shared it with the evening church that night. I had the privilege of picking him up and on the way driving to pick up their team. I'm thinking, God, what do you want me to ask them? You know, I've got an hour with them in the car before church. And I've heard this testimony about their orange orange trees, that is not really harvesting like normal trees. So I asked him, I said, are you involved in your grandpa's farm? Yes, he says ranch, they call it, farm. So I said, do you know anything about the orange trees? I heard this story. Not quite sure if it's a testimony, but have you heard, is it true? So I said, what is it? I said, I've heard that they don't quite harvest like normal orange trees. And he says, yes, it's true. He says, a normal tree harvests twice a year in their region, but their trees four times a year. Four times a year. So I said, tell me more. How did it happen, you know? Since when? And he said, well, he's probably late 20s, early 20s, in his 20s, whatever. So I said, since when? I thought it's maybe one season, you know, wonderful testimony of something that happened 10 years ago. We all have those, right? He says, no, it's been like that since I was a little boy. I grew up on the farm. It's always like that. Always like that. So I said, okay, now I'm carrying on. I'm like, what happened? How did it start? And he said, well, his grandfather, if you've seen or know the grandpa, he doesn't sit still. He's forever, even while preaching, he does this. So he says his grandfather just goes for prayer walks amongst the trees. He just prays there. So what happens? The presence of God, the river is flowing amongst these trees. And the ground is being transformed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is there. And that is the scripture. That is verse 12. It says, there will be fruit every month. I don't know what your need is, but I know there's a river. And I know that there's a promise that there will be fruit. There will be healing. The leaves is for healing, for medicine. They say, I'm going to quickly tell you a testimony. I have shared a little bit about this before. My parents farm, you know that, in the Free State. And there's been some stuff we don't talk about always, but here we go. Some farm murders. It's real. It's big. Doesn't make the media all that much, but it's real. And where they stay, they've had some incidents, but while they weren't at home, but their neighbors have been terribly attacked in the past. So over the years, this is not something new. Been happening for long, unfortunately. But over the years, I've just grown so scared of going to the farm, and especially since having kids. I was so nervous because, unfortunately, the stories These people don't have any regard for little kids or ladies. They just, it's horrific. But with this fear got into my heart that I would go, we would go and visit on the farm. After a while, I didn't even want to go anymore because I would go and I would be so anxious. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night when the dog barks. I'm awake and I'm like, Richard, what is it? What is this? And he's like, it's so dark. I can't see anything. It's pitch dark. We're on the farm. And I would be so nervous. After dark, I don't want us to be outside. The kids must come in. I would check the doors for my parents. It just got to a place where I told them, this is not right. I cannot live like this. It's not from God. I need peace. The Bible promises peace. This is not working. And a long story short, but my pastor slash husband slash friend helped me get delivered of some fear demons one day. A lot of crying. And after that, I felt the peace of God come in. And it was amazing. I thought I had fear around because I was in a car accident many years ago. But when he cast out those spirit of fears and just those things that tormented me, actually when we visited the farm again, there was peace. After about 3 days, I realized I'm not nervous. I'm not stressed. But what happened was now in the holidays, about 2 weeks ago, we visited my parents again. And I've gotten used to this peace again. No concern. I'm actually enjoying the farm. I'm loving it. And then the one night, my dad comes into our bedroom and he says, I'm just going out. Your mom and I are just going out. It's about 10:30. We're just going to go check because one of the workers phoned and said there were gunshots. Now my heart is going like this. I'm like, where are you going? What are you going to check? You know, stay inside. And he said, well, he has to go and check. That's the deal with the workers. They let him know and he has to go. And I told Richard, like, my heart is going like this. And after about 45 minutes, they come back. They actually found the guy and confronted him. And he said he shot blank shots, whatever that means. Anyways, long story short, that night I got into bed and I was like, I knew it. This thing is going to come back. And I thought, that is the end of my holiday. We had 2 or 3 nights still on the farm. And I was like, I want to go home. Here we go. The fear is back. And I kid you not, I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, it's not. Because God has transformed you. God has transformed you. And it was the most amazing thing that where there was torment and fear, even after an incident like this, I mean, the next day I sat with my dad and I said, we need to talk about the rationale of going out. But there was no more fear. I could enjoy the last 2 or 3 days. And I was just amazed at how God is real, guys, and he wants to transform. But he's saying, you need to come and drink. Jesus is real, and he wants to heal you of whatever. Maybe you have something else that you are scared of or nervous of. I felt that there's actually more people that are maybe struggling with this thing that something bad is going to happen. Something bad's going to happen to me. Something bad's going to happen to my business. Something bad's going to happen to my kids. I actually felt for some of us, even as parents, you're nervous about letting go of your kids. And I feel God is saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. And this morning, I want to go back to John 7, verse 37, where Jesus is saying, if anybody is thirsty, come and drink. You see, it starts with a thirst. Come and drink, and I will, from your heart, I will heal your heart, and from there, the river of living water will flow. And along this bank, where the river flows, there's life, there's healing, there's peace, there's transformation. But it starts with thirst. We are all thirsty. I have not met a person who is not thirsty. We are just all thirsty for different things. And I want to ask you this morning, what are you hungry and thirsty for? It's not condemnation, it's an invitation. It's an invitation, and I'm hoping as we read through this Ezekiel scripture that you said, oh my, I want it. I want that transformation. I want that freedom. I want that healing. So I'm hoping the river was like biltong, a good old piece of biltong that you had just before bedtime, and now I have to get up at 2 o'clock to go drink some milk or water because it was too salty. So for the foreigners, biltong is very salty meat. And our kids have stepped into that trap time and again, especially on the farm, because Opa's always got a lot of biltong. And then William gets up in the middle of the night, so dorst, mama, so thirsty. He ate too much biltong. But I'm trusting God to say there is more. There's more. I've got a video, Isaac, you can maybe get that ready for us, that we're going to watch together. Because you see what Richard has done with this revival series. He's just saying, just look at what Jesus can do. Let's dream again. You know, many of us are just surviving. I feel God is saying, dream with me. See with me what is possible when this river flows, when it flows not just in the church on Sunday, but when it flows into your kids' lives, when it flows into your business, when it flows into our community. What can Front Hook look like? This beautiful valley, how can it be transformed? So I'm going to, this video we're going to watch, sorry, I got so excited now, I didn't even tell you about the video. Richard touched on it. It's the Ashbury Revival that happened in February this year. It was 16 days long, from the 8th to the 24th of February this year, not long time ago. And they've got snippets, it's about 8 minutes long. We're very much on time, went quickly. So just listen. And I want you especially listen to the last guy. He's going to speak right at the end. Just his heart and saying what revival is. It's ordinary people who are hungry for God. Ordinary people who are hungry for God. We're all hungry and thirsty for something. Let's watch that. Thanks. Maybe the worship team can come up. We're going to close our eyes. We say, Jesus, we are hungry for you. We are thirsty for you. God, we're not looking for many people. We're not looking for hype like this guy says. We just want you. And I want to invite you just to open your heart and just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where is there a swamp in my life? Maybe you're saying, I'm hearing about revival, but to be honest, I don't know. You guys are all emotional and excited about it. Richard, Jolene, I don't know, man. I just want to go have Sunday lunch. And I want to say, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just open your heart to the King of Kings. Say, God, give me a hunger and a thirst for you. Not for anything else, for you. Because Jesus says it all starts with everybody who is thirsty, come to me. So maybe that is you, and you realize that actually your relationship with Jesus has been in a swamp for a while. You haven't really been in the river. You haven't been connected to him. You've maybe come even to church every single week, but you know that there's no life flowing out of you. There's no rivers of streams and fountains of rippling water flowing out of you. Then I want to say to you, the invitation is here this morning. Jesus is saying, I'm here. I'm here and I'm a step away. Maybe your relationship has just grown a little bit cold and you're saying, I used to be in the river, but I'm not anymore. I also felt that there's some of us that you actually have certain areas in your life that has been a swamp. And like I said, you just try to ignore it. You're like, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. And the Holy Spirit is this morning coming and saying, I want to talk about it. Because I want to bring transformation. I want to bring life into that swamp. I felt for some of us it's relational, it's marriage, it's a relationship with a child even that's struggling, a relationship with a mother or father that's struggling, a sister. And I feel for some of you the easiest thing to do, even for friends, has just been to cut them off. I just talk as little as possible, or I just keep it as oppervlakkig as I just speak about logistics and the normal things. And I felt God is saying, I want to transform that swamp into a river, life-giving river, river that where it flows, there will be life. There will be peace. There will be transformation. I felt for some of us, you might be struggling with the same thing I struggled with fear. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. I felt God is saying, there's peace this morning. There's peace this morning. There's people that are tired, like I said, they're exhausted, saying, never mind getting through today. I don't even know if I'll be able to get up tomorrow morning. I'm just physically exhausted. I'm emotionally exhausted. I'm tired of fighting. Jesus is saying, come and drink of the river. If any of that resonated with you, I'm not going to call anybody up this morning. But I do want to ask you, maybe just slip up your hand. If you feel the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, thank you for that hand, those hands. Just slip up your hand, just as an indication to Him, if that is you. What I did feel, and even if you didn't slip up your hand, I felt the Holy Spirit say to do an act of faith this morning, a prophetic act, we call it. That we're just going to take physically one step and get into this river and say, Jesus, I'm stepping into your river. So if that is you, if you put up your hand for anything, or you're saying, I also want to step into whatever the river, I want to step out of the swamp and into the river in whatever area it's between you and the Holy Spirit, why don't you just stand up and then we're going to do the step together. So I want you to close your eyes and just between you and Jesus, just bring Him whatever it is. Jesus, I'm repenting for walking away from you. Jesus, I've never given my heart to you. This morning I choose to come and say I'm thirsty for you. I believe in you. Whatever it is, I want you to hold it before the Lord. Whatever your swamp is, just speak it under your breath. Just say, Jesus, this is my swamp. I'm giving it to you this morning. And then when you're ready, I want to encourage you. Let's maybe do it together. I'm going to count to three. And you can choose whether your river is on your left or on your right. But I want you to just give one step and put both feet in. I actually felt God saying right now, it's not a one step, one foot only. You've got to put both feet into the river. Both feet. We're not going to do one foot in the swamp and one foot in the river. So I want to encourage you, maybe your river is in front of you, then you just take a step forward with both feet. So I'm going to count to three, and on three, we're going to get into the river. One, two, three. Yes, thank you, Jesus, that you are the river. You are the one that comes and heals us, and from our innermost beings, rivers of living water will flow. Thank you, God, that today is a turning point. Thank you, God, that I can just declare over every single person who took a step. We're saying, God, this has got nothing. For some of you thinking, this lady's crazy. This has got nothing to do with my financial situation or my marriage or whatever. And I want to charge you to be expectant this week to see what God will do, because you attached your faith to what He said in the Word of God. And Father, I pray that this morning, God, you would give us the gift of hunger. God, that we will be hungry and thirsty for you, God, that you will still and just quiet all the other voices, all the other hungers and thirsts and everything else that's crying out for our attention, God, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for you, Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and stir in us, Father, a desire to read the Bible, a desire to worship, a desire to spend time with Jesus. So I want to invite you, we're going to end with a final worship song. But I want to invite you, just open your heart to the Holy Spirit and be honest with Him. Anyone knows it. If you don't really have a hunger for more of Him, Just ask Him to do it. Hunger is a gift. So while we're worshiping, you can stand with us. If you want to sit, you're welcome to sit. But just open your heart and say, Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do.